Amen. Thank you, Brother Kenneth. Thank you, Miss Julia. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you for singing and worshiping this Sunday morning with us. Thank you, worship team. They get here a lot earlier than the rest of us, and so we appreciate them very, very much, and more than we can even begin to say. But it is a joy to have you here as we have the Sunday right before Christmas, and we are continuing our series this morning on the carols of Christmas. And I'm so thankful we can. I believe I have been to 4 funerals in the last 3 weeks. And it's always a sobering time. And I know this is Christmas and we have stockings and presents and great food and fellowship. But I'm also reminded that, man, Christmas is way more than a gift of a toy or a belt or a sweater or whatever. It's the gift of eternal life that is presented to us through Christ. And what an awesome gift that is. And so, this morning, as we prepare to study God's Word, I want to encourage you. Pastor Glad mentioned that. Our hearts have been very heavy for families, even this week. Miss Melissa Manning and the homegoing of her father, Mr. Clifford Riles, and Simon Rowell, after a long 6-year fight with his unique type of Parkinson disease that he had, and then hearing this morning when we arose of Craig Shaw having had the COVID and pneumonia in both lungs, passing away overnight, young man. And so I want to encourage us to continue praying for these families that have had the recent sting of death. And of course, every holiday, if you have a loved one who's gone on, there's an emptiness, there's a pain that strikes every year for those of us who have loved ones who have gone on. And so for me, all of Christmas, and I love the gifts and I love the food. I love the Christmas fun. But more than everything, I love what Christmas really means. You know, at our house, we watch a little football along the way. And you always hear, this is the true meaning of Christmas, family and being together. And I was saying last night, that's not the true meaning of Christmas. It's much deeper than that. Because if that's all we have, one day that'll be gone. But our relationship with God in Christ will never be gone. And because of that, we will have relationship again with our loved ones and family. See, the world comes up short every time. Every time. It is God who is true. And thank God for Him. But this morning, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you will turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Again, I know we were there last Sunday morning as we looked at God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And I pray that that message was encouraging to you and insightful in many ways. And today, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, yet once again. Our focus today will not be verses 10 and 11, however. There will be 13 and 14 in this message today. But to get a context, let's look at Luke chapter 2. We'll begin our reading now in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Those are our memory verses for this past week, Luke 2:10-11. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Would you pray with me this morning? Let's pray one more time. Our Father and our God, we fall before you today. Father, truly we are a weary world. But we can rejoice because you are a way maker and a promise keeper. You're a miracle worker. You're light in the darkness. You are our God. This is who you are. Father, this morning as we come to celebrate the birth of Christ and, Lord, our redemption in Christ, we also, in this Genesis 3 world, we come with heavy hearts, broken hearts, aching hearts. And yet we also are expectant, and we have a hope and a joy that even death cannot totally take away from us, Lord. And so, Father, this morning we ask you to enable us to make much of Jesus, who truly is the reason for this season. We pray, Father, that you will help us to see him and, Lord, his humanity, and to see him in his deity, and that we will see him as our Savior, the one whom we need more than anyone or anything else in all of the universe. Father, I'm asking you to, as we have sung this morning, that you would enable us to worship. Lord Jesus, that you would help us to set our minds' attention and our hearts' affection upon who you are. And may we praise you, O God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and what you have accomplished in and through him. And no matter how we may feel this morning, shocked, discouraged, faint-hearted, distracted, broken, Father, we know that in Christ we have a Savior, we have a friend, we have a Redeemer, we have a warrior, we have a conqueror, we have one who is eternal and who has promised good to his people. And so I pray, O God, as we worship you, that you would help Christmas sink even deeper into our hearts and minds this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 This morning, Luke chapter 2, we're going to be focusing this morning on verses 13 and 14. And as we do, once again, we are studying the carols of Christmas. And one reason we're doing that is that we may understand the Christmas carols better. But a second and even more important reason for studying the carols of Christmas is that the carols can serve as a window into the biblical story. Amen? The carols can serve as a window into the biblical story, and we can appreciate the truths that are highlighted, the biblical truths that are highlighted in the Christmas carol that we study today. And we also want the scripture itself to illumine our singing of the carols so that we can truly praise God as we sing the Christmas carols. This morning, I would love for you to let me read for you the stanzas from our carol of the day. Hark, the herald angels sing. And I want you to see that, you know, we've had someone say, we know Hark is the name of the angel. And of course, that's the titles are interesting today. Just like last week, I had one of our members who may be watching online right now on Facebook Live. You know, she was talking about, she remembers growing up how that a pastor had said they put the comma in the wrong place in God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And but actually, if you remember, the old English means God make you strong gentlemen. And so in actuality, the comma's in the right place, if you understand the old English that we mentioned last week. But hark, the herald angels sing. This is one of the most popular Christmas carols of all time. And it's loaded with biblical truth. We just kind of zip through the carol and let the truth just kind of flow right through. Sometimes I even dwelling on what the carol itself is teaching those to whom we sing. It's something that I have missed this Christmas season, and maybe you as a family have gone around some singing Christmas carols. We normally have a huge group of our Crawfordites that go Christmas caroling, and it's a great thing to do. It's a great thing to just go to homes maybe in some neighborhoods and sing, because we're proclaiming, we're preaching the gospel through a lot of these carols. So it's not just for, you know, the elderly or the homebound that are Christians. That's fine and good, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But also, when you sing a Christmas carol, you're proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Just listen to these words. Listen to these as I go through these stanzas with you. Hark, hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. That is important. Joyful, all ye nations, all the peoples. We heard the Lottie Moon Christmas offering promo video today. And man, we're receiving that offering, and how we need a good one. Amen. We need to dig deep into those pockets and give that our 4,000 missionaries around the world can proclaim the gospel. But you see, even this old carol, joyful, all ye nations rise. Charles Wesley wrote this carol in 1739. And notice these words, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Fulfilling Micah 5:2. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Stanza 2, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, the fullness of God, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, God with us. Stanza 3. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the new born King. As I mentioned, Charles Wesley wrote this Christmas carol in 1739. A gentleman by the name of Felix Mendelssohn, in fact, if you have, you don't have the hymn open in your hymnal, but at the bottom of the hymnal, you see the music is by Felix Mendelssohn, who actually was composing a cantata in 1840. And Felix Mendelssohn was composing a cantata of different Christmas carols and songs and arrangements in 1840. He was doing that on a significant anniversary. This was the 400th anniversary of Johann Gutenberg's invention of the printing press. And so Felix Mendelssohn put together these Christmas carols in a collected work. And then the English musician William H. Cummings, he adapted Mendelssohn's music to fit the lyrics of Hark the Herald Angels Sing that you have sung. We have read through the stanzas together now. And what I want us to learn this morning, there are three overarching truths, three big truths I want us to see. Now, if we took everyone in the carol, there are 24 of them. That's a bunch. We're not doing that this morning, but we're going to study three major truths this morning that I want you to see. And number one is this: we need to be busy. You say, "Oh, we got that one down, Pastor Jay. We busy, all right? We got that going on. Stress levels are up to here. Checking accounts down here. You know, everything has been purchased, or maybe you're really sitting there stressing out about what I have to yet go and purchase in these final days to Christmas. We are busy, but no, this text will teach us in Luke chapter 2, we need to be busy praising God. And I want you to see that in Luke chapter 2. This week we're going to focus on verses 13 and 14. So the angel, first of all, appears to the shepherds. He makes the announcement there in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And then after that, we have a host of angelic beings that appear with that one angel. And what we see is there, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. That means a bunch. There was a bunch of them, the heavenly host. And what were they doing? They were praising God and saying. What are the angels busy doing? They are praising God. The very thought of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God set these angels to singing. Now, we mentioned incarnation last week. It's kind of a big word, isn't it? But yet we know this word. Amen? We know it. All right? It means in the flesh. It is when the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was by the miracle of the virgin conception, became a human being. He became the little baby in the manger who then grew into a boy, and then by age 13 was bar mitzvahed and became a son of the commandment, and he became a man in the Jewish society. Then he lived his life under the headship of his parents. In fact, Jesus, truly God, truly man, obeyed all of God's law throughout his life. Not one time did he say an insensitive word to his brothers or his sisters growing up in the house. Think about that. I mean, who of us with brothers and sisters haven't had a spat? Who in this room has not had a little argument with mom or dad, or you're thinking, "That's unfair"? I mean, he never did that. He was perfect in every way. This is Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who became man, became a human being in every way, yet without sin. And so the very thought of the incarnation sets the angels to praising God. What should our response be as human beings who are actually saved by the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of this one whom we call Jesus? If the angels are praising God for the sending and the birth of the Redeemer, then What should the response of the redeemed be for God sending His Son? As we saw Wednesday night in our Crawford Faith Family Christmas, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. What should our response be? Philippians chapter 2. You can flip there if you like, and it's a great passage to flip to. Philippians chapter 2, just to remind us here of what Jesus has done. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Now notice what Christ did. Verse 6, "Who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped," because He's truly God. "But what did He do? But emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant." Now, He didn't lose His deity. He's fully God and fully man all the time. And that blows our minds. "But He emptied Himself," how? "By taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." That's how He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself by adding humanity to His deity. Notice this. "And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And so, beloved, as we think about Genesis 3, as we think about sin, we think about the wages of sin is death. But we can also, thank God, think about, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, this Jesus, who is truly God, fully God, in every way God, He humbled Himself by coming into this world and becoming a man, and then being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so therefore He has victory over sin, hell, death, Satan, and the grave through His obedient death on the cross. And therefore, verse 9, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So what we see here, the angels are busy praising God. That's what the text says in verse 13. We also ought to be busy praising God. May we join the angelic host and praise God. And praise Him with your lips. Praise Him with your life. You see, we need to be consistent. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all" what? "To the glory of God." Do it for the glory of God. And so may we sing. May we worship. May we think. May we speak. May we preach. May we live in a way that brings glory to God. Number one today, we need to be busy praising God in the midst of all of our craziness. And our culture's come up with that, and we play along with it. This might be a revelation, but you know, we don't really have to. I mean, you know, I've heard it said many times, many years ago, that Christmas is typically we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. And a lot of times He's the one who doesn't get any gift from so many people. It's His birthday and everybody else is getting gifts, but not Him. We can make it different this year. Well, what can I give Him, you know? I could give Him my piggy bank, a child may say. I can give, hey, He has come to redeem us. So we give Him the proper place in our minds and hearts. We worship Him. We are created to worship Him, as we saw last Sunday. So number one, we need to be busy praising God. Number two, we move to verse 14. The text in verse 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest." Number two this morning, beloved, we need to understand that our redemption is about God's glory. We need to understand that our redemption is about God's glory. God's redemption of His people is all about giving God glory. Now, we can look at the Christmas story from a human perspective, from a man-centered perspective. That is, Christmas is all about us. It's all about me. And it's what I can give and get, right? It's what I can give and what I can get. Heard that on one of the car advertisements, I think. Christmas is all about, you know, giving and then getting back. I'm thinking, no. Christmas is not about giving and giving back. Christmas is about God giving us His Son, and we need Him. We need Him today. And we need to proclaim Him, church, in the gatherings to which you will be at later today or tomorrow or all this week or next weekend or wherever we may be. God takes you to family, God takes you to the mountains, God takes you to wherever He takes you, we need to be cognizant and thinking of Jesus Christ. This is for Him. And we are to honor Him, and we're to praise Him and proclaim Him and worship Him in all that we do. But ultimately, you know, we need to understand that our redemption is primarily about God's glory. This is what we can think about as the angels are telling us God's redemption of human beings is about the glory of God. Listen to Psalm 106, verse 8. Listen to Psalm 106, verse 8. The Bible says, "Yet He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make known His mighty power." Psalm 106, verse 8. "Yet He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make known His mighty power." Ephesians chapter 1. In this great passage where we see how God has loved us and elected us and predestined us to be conformed to His image, the image of His Son. In this great passage, one sentence in the original language there from the Apostle Paul. English teachers would call it a run-on sentence, and the Holy Spirit gives them an A+. Amen. But anyway, Ephesians 1:6 says, "To the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved." And so again, we see the praise goes to God here in Ephesians 1:12. "So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory." So we have praise to the Father in verse 6. We have praise to the Son in verse 12. In verse 14, guess what? We have praise to the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Who is that? Who's the guarantee of our inheritance? Scripture is clear. He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the guarantor of the earnest, as the older translations would say. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. As we saw last Sunday, we serve and we worship a triune God. If you try to explain the Trinity, you lose your mind. You deny the Trinity and you lose your soul. We have a God who is beyond our comprehension, and thank God for that. Hey, if my little brain could figure Him completely out, we all in a world of hurt. Amen. And same for you, all right? We have a triune God whom we love, whom we worship, whom we serve. And in this church, we try to emphasize the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because we need all three of them, because the three are one God. You see, Jesus comes to redeem us for God's glory and for our good. And I'm going to tell you, because of where our faith family is and the circumstances with the families that we love so much, and this whole COVID-19 pandemic isolation stuff, and this is just where we are in the world and in our nation, and with these families that we know and love and care for, you know, even when you move away, we still going to love and care for you. Like the Shaw family, for example, that relocated, moved to Louisiana. Christmas is intended to mean something. Something deep, special, true. Just keep in mind, Jesus comes to redeem us for God's glory, and it results in our good. So praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Holy Spirit. You see, we need to remember that our redemption is about God's glory. What does the Scripture say? Glory to God in the highest. We need to be busy praising God. We need to be busy remembering. We need to understand that our redemption is about God's glory. Number three this morning, verse 14 goes on to say, not only glory to God in the highest, notice this part, and on earth, peace. That's so easy to say that word, isn't it? Peace. You know, what you're really longing for today is not more money in your checking account. Now, it wouldn't hurt probably most of us to have a little bit more in there. Amen. But that's not really what we're longing for. No. You see, we're all restless until we find our rest in Thee. That's Old English, referring to God. And there are a lot of restless souls in this country and around the world. But there is peace available. The text says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. The King James Version puts it this way, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Another translation says, peace towards those upon whom God's favor rests. What we must understand, beloved, is this is not a generic announcement. This is not a generic announcement on, and on earth peace to everybody. It says, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. So this is a particular announcement. This is an announcement for the people who believe the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not everyone is going to experience this peace that is found in Christ. They're not going to experience, they're not experiencing it right now, and they're not going to be experiencing it later on unless someone sings to them, proclaims to them, gives them a gospel booklet. We have some on the Connect table if you want to grab some as you go out for your Christmas gatherings this year. Listen, the most loving thing we can do is to tell a lost sinner, hey, there is hope, there is forgiveness, and He has a name, and His name is Jesus. And you need to know about Him so you can turn from your sin and turn to Him and trust Him and experience through repentance and saving faith regeneration. You see, this peace is only for people who repent of their sin and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So let me say this to you as we prepare to conclude. Hark. First word in our carol today. Hark. The herald angels sing. The word hark means listen, means pay attention. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you want to just flip over here in the New Testament to the 1 Peter, if you can do that, that would be a good place to go. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to see this in Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Chapter 2, verse 22. Here we go. Referencing Christ. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. Verse 24. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Notice verse 25. For you were straying like sheep. That's all of us now. We were all, apart from Christ, we're straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Have you received God's greatest gift? Salvation, eternal life, relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Are you walking in sweet fellowship with Jesus and with your brothers and sisters in Christ? You're in 1 Peter. If you'll just go to 1 John, flip about two pages, you'll be there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. I'm going to pick up with verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Double negative. You know, sometimes children say, well, why do we have lights at Christmas? Why do you put lights on your house? Why do you put lights around your house or on your fireplace or on tree? Why do we have lights? Well, my answer is, John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Isaiah 9 has said that a light's going to come into the area where there's great darkness. Jesus fulfills that prophecy, being the light of the world. What does 1 John 1:5 say? God is light. He reveals things. He exposes . You know, it's kind of COVID-19, as I was talking to Brother Ben Posey yesterday, he and I were talking, and he would say, you know, COVID didn't cause us to be this way as a church. COVID just kind of exposed what we really were. It just exposed the weak points in our church. It didn't create them. They were already there. We could all say this. See, light reveals, light exposes, light speaks of purity, power. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Look at verse 9. This morning as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, may I say, Jesus is God with us. He is not God controlled, explained, and tamed by us. He is God with us. And listen, this God will forgive you of your sins. You say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm already a Christian. I'm doing pretty good right now. Everything is gravy. It's all good. Listen, the more we walk in that light, the more the darkness we'll see that still resides within us. We need this grace continually. We need to abide in him, have him abide in us, and we need to do this daily. This is a daily. Christmas means many things, and one of those things is you and I, as long as we're living and breathing in this Genesis 3 world, we must cast ourselves upon the mercy of God every day. Every day, parents, let your children see you doing that. Boys and girls, do that. As your parents instruct you, teach you, model for you as teenagers and young adults and all of these things. Listen, it is so important we live consistently for Christ. There was a guy yesterday on game day. And he said, well, you know, I was raised Catholic, but I believe Trevor Lawrence is the Pope of South Carolina. And I don't know how he may have meant that exactly. He's on the camera and this and that going on. But it hit me, you know, I was raised, I don't want my children to say, I was raised Baptist, but. No. I want my children on this front pew to know God. I want you to know God. I want you to have a relationship with God through faith in Christ. I don't want you one day to say, well, you know, I used to go to Crawford Baptist Church. I have met tens of thousands of people in Sims, Alabama. We don't have that many people here, but I've met tens of thousands of people in Sims, Alabama that have said, I used to go to Crawford Baptist Church. Or if you bump into them in Walmart, when you could talk to people, they say, oh, I go to Crawford Baptist Church. I say, well, who's the pastor there? Well, you know, he's a nice fella. I can't think of his name. I can't either. That's a serious disease we have today. See, people take this all so lightly. It's not light. It's weighty. And I can't make it weighty to you. All I can do is preach the truth to you, and I am praying that God would grip your heart and He will meet you where you are today as a Christian or as one who is coming to faith today or in the near future. But I am praying that you will take God seriously and then worship Him. We need to be busy praising God. We need to understand that our redemption is about God's glory, and we need to know. We need to receive. We need to receive the peace that passes all understanding, that's available to us in Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, right? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of His cross. That's what Christmas is about. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?